and everything in between. Welcome to the Weekend Collective on Newstalk ZB.
6 minutes past five, and it is time for parenting. And we are joined by an international time management specialist, which is quite the title. Robin Pierce is with us. And you're a mum, you're a grandmother, and you're also an author because you come bearing gifts. And this is your latest book. Tell us about what the book is all about.
Oh, getting a grip on parenting time. And hi, guys.
It's hello, hello.
To be with you. Nice to see you.
That particular book came out of my years of raising six kids of my own, all arrived in a nine-year period, and that included a special needs foster son.
Wow.
And go, Robin.
And then, bless their hearts, have gone and blessed me with 17 grandchildren. So
you're busy.
Well, it's fun. And the book really was a compilation of a whole lot of tips and articles and things that I've written over the years, often taking it back into the business world because everything's connected to everything. And then one day someone said, why don't you put all those articles about children together? And hello, it turned into a book. It was only going to be a little e-book once.
Now, here's the deal, Robin. I'm quite time pressured, so I don't have time to go through the whole 86 common sense things that you've got for time pressured parents. Is there one big takeaway that you recommend, and obviously you'll have more in the book Parenting Time, but one thing that me as a scattered, disoriented, time-pressured parent, what can I do?
Enjoy those kids. And also don't feel you've got to squeeze everything in all the time, because one of the things I really worry about with young parents is they feel they've got to do everything. Mm. Give them time to play.
That's actually what we were doing that just this weekend when we were on the drive, and Roman had the trike, Felix had the scooter, I had the scooter, and they both were I was the bad guy, Don Diablo, from this book that I've been reading them from The Lone Ranger.
Oh,
and, fabulous. And Roman's like, I am the Lone Ranger, and Felix is like, I am the Lone Ranger. Also, and so they chased after me, shooting me, and it was just play. That's all it was.
Play. It's all kids need it.
I'm looking through this book at the moment. By the way, we're going to give away a couple of copies. So if you ring through and take part in the talkback on 0800 80 10 80, you'll go in the draw, and then we will pluck two names from the people who've rung through, and you could win a copy of Parenting Time 86.
Getting a grip on Parenting Time.
Oh, yes, getting a grip on Parenting Time 86 Common Sense Lessons from the Trenches, and I've flicked through lesson number 42. See, I think this is useful whether you got kids or not, actually. So this is getting...
Roxy's learned things already.
Well, I love this. So getting the bags off the floor. So this is kids who leave their school bags lying around on the floor, and then vital documents get all strewn all over the show. And so it's just the simple idea of having a basket on the bench, as Robin writes, for all school-related paperwork. I need the basket on the bench because I've got papers everywhere. I don't really know where... I've never figured out where papers are meant to go. You know,
a file in the garage.
I open a drawer.
Don't
and I,
they, Robin?
I shove
no.
these letters in, and I don't know. No? Yeah.
Well, they could go on a file in the garage, but you need to have a process. Everything's all about systems, including raising kids.
Can I also say, in terms of saving time, as a parent, find the shoes in the evening.
Yes.
Because
it's in my book, but you haven't even read it yet.
Listen, because Rachel and I were like, why are we so stressed out in the mornings?
Exactly.
It's like, because like, I've got one shoe. Have you got the other shoe? No. Is it in the kitchen? No. Is it in the upstairs bedroom? And it's usually in Fotty's bag.
So it might be, if people have got dogs, it could be the shoes are on top of the washing machine rather than on the floor.
Mm.
Or the ankle biter child might be one that scatters the shoes. So a place for everything and everything in its place. Your mother was right.
You sound like my mother and my father, Robin.
0800 80 10 80 if you'd like to be on the program. You can text us as well on 9292. And one thing we want to talk about is homeschooling and whether or not homeschooling creates socially inept kids. And also, I think, Robin, for you, with someone who knows so much about time management, like, how does a parent who is homeschooling have any time to just switch off and just cope and
become
recharge?
Yeah.
And that's a really great question. And I have had one of my families that did have a go at homeschooling. They were living in a country community where and very isolated, where homeschooling was the only option at that period of time. And homeschooling is great for some people. For others, it's not. I know that's a bit obvious. But in terms of finding the time, there has to be some family agreements as to how things are managed. But for example, it could be that the kid is really interested in something. They might be people living on a farm. That child is learning things when they're out there on the farm. And then, so the mother's got a break while the kid's out with the father on the farm, say, for example. Doing things together so that there are applications back to the learning opportunities. There's a million different things. You've got something to say there, Tim.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what we find when, and the reason why this homeschooling conversation came up is that one of my sons came home with the F-bomb, and it was from preschool. And
oh my gosh!
Yes, exactly. So I'm like, I don't want my son to go and hang out with the more lowlifes who are going to teach him
bad words when he's a kid.
But it sort of gets to, I guess, the homeschooling discussion gets to the issue of what information you want to enter your kids' heads. And it's not, it's not necessarily about controlling everything about them. It's just acting as a sort of a filter. And if you're homeschooling, I think you have more chance to filter the stuff that's rubbish out and the stuff that you put more of the stuff that you want to in. The only other issue is that is the funny shoes and the funny haircuts and the social ineptness that apparently comes with homeschooling.
It doesn't necessarily. It depends very much on the parents and on the socialisation that the children can get in other ways. And going back to your question, Roxy, about how can a parent get some time out, there's a couple of thoughts that come there. One is there are organisations set up to support homeschool people. In every country, and I know New Zealand has because I went and checked it, where there are associations where people can get together and do collaborative things. But it's also, you might have another friend that's homeschooling as well. So there might be one parent takes all of the children to go and do something for a period of time so that the other mother gets, or father, gets a chance to go and do whatever they need to do.
You can take part on 0800 80 10 80. Well, let's zero in on the first part of it, which is whether or not homeschooling does create socially inept kids. Because, I would be reticent to say that as some sort of broad statement, because I totally agree that there are some situations, like we were saying before, you know, if you live rurally, if you've got children who maybe have Asperger syndrome, then homeschooling may really make sense. As far as wanting to protect your child from the reality that people use naughty words, Tim. People swear. That's what happens.
I get that, Roxy. I totally understand it. But the fact is, I want to be able to get ahead of the conversation where he's seeing the using of those words when he's around kids as a socially beneficial way of communicating. It's not like he's going to run screaming from the room if someone drops an F-bomb or an S-bomb. I don't think that's going to happen. But what I want to be able to have a conversation with him about and reinforce it through possibly homeschooling, and I'm just toying with the idea.
Because you haven't talked through with your wife yet.
Well, we've what's interesting is we've talked generally about it because
she's a teacher.
My wife's a teacher, and so she knows a great deal about education. And she hasn't discounted it entirely. If say, we're getting together with a whole bunch of other parents who can share the load and also have skills to bring. So it's not about creating little hothouse flowers. It's just about having them, I don't know, alongside people and particularly parents, who can give them the benefit of the right context for stuff that'll just flow in. I'm chewing this up. I know I'm taking far too long to answer.
It's great discussion. You remind me of a young guy. I sail on one of the classic yachts, Waitangi, down in the she's moored down in the Viaduct Harbour. And I can remember there was a lovely young guy who was homeschooled who was on was either on our crew or might have been on Thelma, one of the two classic yachts. And he would have been probably, I think at the time, only 15, been homeschooled, a single child, I think. And he could take time out during a day, a working or school day, to come and assist with cleaning, doing the antifoul and things like that. And he was hanging out with adults. Really mature, smart young guy. It was fabulous. And I just thought, what a testament to homeschooling, because he was just so advanced. He was more advanced than most kids in high school.
So actually socially more advanced.
Yes.
0800 80 10 80. Margie, hi.
Hi there, guys. You know, I have got a family of high achievers, but one of my siblings' children were homeschooled, the four of them, and not one of these kids is employed today. They're all in their 30s now. They are far from achievers, but they have so much potential. You know, each of them could, they just could do so much. They're all so clever. They are socially inept. They are educationally inept. But the problem, I believe, has been because, not because they were homeschooled, but because they were homeschooled by someone who had no idea. So she didn't achieve school C herself. It was just the blind leading the blind, and it's just heartbreak to see such potential destroyed for the wrong reasons. And do you know, Tim, your wife is a teacher. Mm. Go for it. She knows where she's at. But if you haven't got the skills to do it, then please don't destroy your kids for the wrong reasons.
Look, I can hear the sadness and desperation in your voice, Margie, when you're talking about these kids. And it's something that we wouldn't enter into lightly. It's a good discussion, I think, to have, because isn't that fascinating? From a family of achievers, as Margie is saying, these kids are not employable and not socially, I guess, able to function in the real world. Let's talk about the possibility of raising hothouse flowers. Number one, you probably want to have parents who are socialised themselves.
Absolutely.
Who are doing the homeschooling. What else should they be? Should be in the mix for that kind of homeschooling success?
Well, to Margie's point, I haven't investigated deeply into homeschooling, but I would imagine that there are avenues to go that we have the support. But for people that are wanting to homeschool their children, I would think it's really important that you've got a wide variety of interests yourself. And one of the examples, I know of several cases where families have gone on overseas trips and they've been able to take their children and homeschool them. So they've had that extra ability to do just amazing experiences with those kids.
I think we could get Uncle Tim Roxburgh to come and teach a bit of cricketing.
Well, yes, that will be needed, because it's probably not going to be coming from Ma and Pa Wilson as far as the cricketing knowledge for the Wilson boys, which is very upsetting. By the way, Ross Taylor now has the 17th highest one-day batting average of all time. Little fun fact for you there, ahead of Viv Richards, 47.04. 0800 80 10 80 if you'd like to be on. Carol, homeschooling, does it create socially inept kids? What do you think?
Oh, no, this is, I was just sharing, my granddaughter came home with the same situation as Tim's son, only at school, a very early school, and at any rate, mum and dad went through how it was inappropriate, and she said, "It's perfectly all right, Dad. Sophie and Grace and I just say it to each other at lunchtime."
Oh, well, that's fine.
She's got it sorted by the sounds.
So did that clear the decks for that family?
But I beg your pardon?
Did that take the issue off the table? If it's just Sophie and Grace and me, then it's just...
You can imagine the three of them standing there to each other.
Effing and blinding over their Vegemite sandwiches.
Exactly.
But when you're a kid, I mean, every child likes to do something that's a bit naughty and risque, don't you think?
Oh, totally. Yeah, and this will interest you, Carol, but like I've said, obviously the ban is on that word, and so what Roman does is every word now that rhymes with that word is used.
So you've a lot of quacking in your house.
Oh, there's a glint in the eye when the rhyming slang comes out, let me tell you.
Hey, Carol, just as far as the topic of homeschooling goes, though,
right.
When I was growing up, people used to say that you could spot homeschool kids, that you'd see them from, you know, a couple of hundred metres away and you'd know that they were homeschooled. And that's mean. No one's pretending that that's not mean. That's just the reality of what kids said. What's your impression about whether or not homeschooled kids are socially inept or more likely to be socially inept?
I think it is entirely dependent on the environment. I was a correspondence school teacher and I saw the full range of competence of the teaching abilities. And I think, as Tim said, it's very important to have a network. Just a mum and a dad is very isolating, and I think that creates socially inept youngsters. But if you have a network which allows you to tap into the skills of the of your surrounding community, then I think that's a different situation.
What about spending too much time with the parents? And this is, I think, something that, that I think a lot of people will say, oh, they're just hanging out with mum and dad. They're not getting that broad spectrum. And maybe the network might help a bit. But too much time with the parents, good thing, bad thing? Where do you stand?
Well, that's always going to be, it depends. Sorry about that, Tim. But it does depend on the parents, doesn't it?
Don't you give me a clear answer.
Sorry. No, I'm not going to give you a clear answer on that because
it does
depend.
We're not having her back.
But if you, it's possible to have too much time with parents. I will absolutely agree with that, because some parents are very myopic about particular things, and I think it's really important to give kids a wide diversity of experience. I would be very happy to stand on that one firmly.
Okay, and that was that you were mentioning friends of yours who, when they decided to quote-unquote homeschool, they loaded the kids into a van and travelled around the states. Not everyone can do that, but that was opening them up to all kinds of different experiences.
Absolutely. And and there's a cousin of mine. She's done a blog on it, and it's just really interesting stuff. The kids have met such enormous diversity of people all around America. They were living in a camper van, so it was quite tough on the parents' relationship for 8 or 10 months or whatever it was.
That would be horrible.
We won't go there, all right? This family show here. but nonetheless, the kids have
had... going to McDonald's for about 4 hours. Don't come back. Here's $5.
Well, I'm quite sure there were things that the children were sent off to do.
All right, if you'd like to be on the program, 0800 80 1080. And our special guest is Robin Pierce. Her website is gettingagrip.com, and she's an international time management specialist and has written a book, which is Getting a Grip on Parenting Time, which has got 86 different life lessons, really, for being better with your time as a parent. And I'm just going to flick to a page, by the way, because if you ring through and take part in the talkback, you're in the draw to win one of these copies. Every 6 weeks, have a do-nothing weekend. Just as we head to the break, what do you mean by that?
Oh, I love that point. It actually helps us keep the stress walls down. If you think about it, everything we do in life has got a stress component to it. And if we don't take time out to have little mini breaks, we will just end up getting a higher and higher stress wall we build up. And people talk about we've hit the wall. And people who don't take those little breaks through the year, it might be a full weekend, what I call a do-nothing weekend, or it might be 3 days when it's a long weekend. Leave the work behind, turn off those damned phones, forget the computers, and just go and hang loose, do nothing, relax.
No engagements, no going round to anyone's place. Not even...
The kids might want to go and play with the neighbour, but there's no commitments.
No commitments.
I've got a great... Can I just give you one quick little tip?
Go ahead.
There was a lovely young woman on a course I was running here in Auckland a few years ago, and I'd been sharing about how people had different strategies for having their do-nothing weekends. And she said, look, our family, we're on a bit of a budget. We haven't got time. We haven't got the money to go away. But what we do is about every 6 weeks or so, we tell our friends and family we are away. We shut the gates. We pull down the curtains at the front of the house. We've got a backyard. The kids play in the backyard. If we feel like slouching around in our pajamas, we do. And we have this awesome, quiet, relaxed weekend. No commitments.
That's really good. I mean...
If you don't show up at work one day, we'll know what's happening.
No, but the thing is, you know, on a Saturday, I have a battle with the kids to get them out of their pajamas, because it's, you know, it's like this, they can feel that there's a more relaxed attitude in the house. Yeah, I'm just going to have PJ day. I think
it's a great idea.
I love it.
And it's in the book, Getting a Grip.
My PJs, Roxy.
Do it. That'd be fantastic, Getting a Grip on Parenting Time. You can win a copy of this. Robin Pierce is the author, and she's in the studio right now. One of the things we're talking about, whether or not homeschooling creates socially inept kids. Give us a call, 0800 80 1080 9292 is the text, and we're back in a moment.
Sleep, but now we're stressed out. Wish we could turn back time.
News Talk ZB, it's the Weekend Collective, just about 5:30. Tim Roxburgh and Tim Wilson here, and we're talking parenting with Robin Pearce. She's written a book called Getting a Grip on Parenting Time, and the good news for you, Yvonne, is that you're in the draw to win this. Welcome along. Homeschooling, does it create inept children? What do you think? Socially inept. All right, let me clarify.
Hello, Tim and Robin. Yes, I've got my own opinion of homeschooling, and it was probably gained through, I'm now retired 5 years ago, but I'm social working for 20 years, and noticing, comparing from when I was at school myself, going back to the 60s, 70s, where, you know, truancy was monitored really closely and kids went to school. And as through the years or decades, and through my career, I noticed less monitoring of truancy, but homeschooling willy-nilly. And what really concerns me, apart from the fact that it's too easy to just become a homeschooler, is there's an insidious side to it. And there are many people who don't want exposure to the authorities, and they disappear to a remote area and they set up homeschooling. One that I was involved in myself was where the only written material was Bibles, and babies were being produced, you know, regularly.
So it was sort of Gloria Vale like?
I think Gloria Vale is more, what's the word, sophisticated maybe, but I've witnessed this, and you'd notice a family that you were really concerned about suddenly disappear from the community. And the problem is that schools, once children leave a school, schools don't follow up where they've gone. And just a family that's come to the attention of the authorities for various, either neglect, abuse or what have you, where you've got a very submissive mother and a dominant father, can disappear quite easily. So there's no hooking up between authorities, and that is a major concern. And if, in fact, to think of it was investigated, it would be very surprising, the results. But schools don't follow up. People can.
I guess the thing is, Yvonne, that schools, that's not part of schools' mandate, is it, Robin? That
I wouldn't have thought so.
That the schools, if you withdraw your kid from a school, then
you could be shifting to another town.
You could be going anywhere, and it's not, they've got enough to do. I'm not sure what the process is, because we've actually had some text saying that I thought the government, you had to be able to apply as a guardian, that the government watched over it. I'm not aware of what the details are in setting up the Wilson homeschool, just how easy it will be. But it's interesting that Yvonne should raise it. Mary joins us now. Mary, hello.
Hi, thank you. Look, I just wanted to let you know that my sister has been a homeschooler. She's had six children, and two of which are still being homeschooled. They're in their teenage years now. All her kids have got fantastic capabilities as far as relating with other people. They had good support with the homeschool system. My understanding is they had quite a good community, a strength in community around the area, although they were dispersed a little, but they had active times where they were all working in together. The kids went to camps. They were really socially integrated, and they are today.
What was the reason for them being homeschooled?
I think part of the reason was they were disillusioned with the local school system, and I'm speaking locally. It was a local school system, and they didn't have many other choices, and they wanted to have some choices. So they purchased programs to follow through with an education program that came to finality, and so they fulfilled everything that they needed to do as far as their learning capabilities and their levels that they reached and things. The second thing that I would say is that when they're homeschooled, the time it takes for them to do their study in a day is so much faster because they've got no interruptions of other kids.
And that, look, Mary, there's something really interesting raising that, because I've talked to people who've been homeschooled, Robin, and they have said they actually missed those interruptions from other kids, that they felt a bit, I don't know, that maybe that it was all business, and it was a bit boring. So that gets to the issue of sort of social ineptness, because it's only, you're just hanging out with your brothers and sisters, and it's maybe mum or dad is doing the lessons, and just the sphere of people you interact with can be a little small.
Well, yeah, I can't really comment on that last little piece, Tim, but I'm seeing what I picked up on immediately, actually. Mm. Great comment too, thank you. Mary, is it?
Yeah.
Mary, thank you, is that you can get your work done faster. That was where I came in on it.
Oh, here we go. Here's the time management first. Yeah, that's the one. Chop, chop, chop.
Yeah, because they can get their prescribed work, and I know there are many good programs. There are alternatives and variations on the kind of curriculum that you can use. But to get the work done faster so the kids can get out and play and go and do other stuff, I think that's a really cool thing.
Robin Pierce is our special guest. You can be on 0800 80 1080 and win a copy of Getting a Grip on Parenting Time, which is her brand new book.
From the text, high schools do follow up when a child leaves the school. It's a ministry requirement. Agree, it is far too easy for parents to withdraw their children for any reason and quote-unquote homeschooling. Getting back to your book, Robin.
I should tell you where people can get them, by the way. Good bookshops and my website and Kindle.
About bad bookshops?
Oh, there are no such things.
All middling ones.
Oh, look, I'm sure they're all fantastic.
Okay. One of the great tips from Getting a Grip on Parenting Time that I've just seen is create a 10 minutes quiet zone, and the benefits last an evening. What do you mean
yes,
by that?
I learn so much from the people that come to my programs. I was working with a group of real estate people in the Hawke's Bay some years ago, and one of the participants shared this one. She said, what happened was that my husband and I are both working, and he would usually be the last one in the door, and we had three children, and it was crazy manic stuff in the evening, as it often is, but particularly when he came home, because they wanted to tell Daddy all the things that had happened for the day, and he'd come home exhausted, and he would sort of have to then pull his energy back up again to cope with all
no,
of
but
the...
that's what you do when you're a dad. You
yes,
come...
but I've got a better idea.
No,
for you.
You man up. You may be exhausted. You're walking up the drive. You can hear the hooting and hollering of the circus. You put your shoulders back.
And you man up. Okay, Tim, you're a good guy. Well, this father decided, well, or he and his wife decided they wanted a variation on that theme. And so they said to the kids, from now on, when Dad gets home, Mum and Dad are going to have a 10-minute quiet time. Save your questions. You'll be able to talk to him as soon as we've had our time, but we're having our time first. And there's a lot of other thoughts behind thinking about that. It's creating a priority for the family, the parental relationship, if you think about that too.
Does this quiet time involve Chardonnay, Sauvignon Blanc?
Yes, absolutely. Or any other preference.
Okay.
But there was a really funny piece to the story, because she said, it was great. The parents got whatever it was they wanted to drink, and they went into the lounge and shut the doors. Now, this lounge had frosted glass on the windows. And so for the first few nights, it was hilarious, because she said there were these three sets of eyes and noses pressed against the glass, watching to see what was going on in there. But to the point in the book... I mean, that was all cool. They got sick of doing that, because there was nothing very scandalous happening. They were just parents just having a natter. But she said it really made an amazing impact, because what they'd done is they'd calmed things down immediately. And so when the parents came out of the lounge, having had their relaxed time, the children had got themselves occupied doing other things. And it truly did create this beautifully, infinitely more serene evening.
That's great.
That is a take it to the bank moment.
0800 80 1080. Michael, you're going to be our last caller with Robin. How are you doing?
Hey, good, thanks. Good, good. Hey, I just really endorse Robin's books. I've heard her speak and read her books, and they're fantastic. So, but just talking about our homeschooling, we homeschooled a couple of our kids, one for a year and one for a term. And then we put them back in the mainstream school.
Well, thank you for the endorsement, Michael, and I didn't even pay you. So tell us what you're thinking was about having them out and then putting them back.
Oh, so I joked that they got expelled from the home school, but no, one was just getting sort of.
There's no shame in that, bro.
one of them was subtly getting bullied, and then the other one was just getting a little bit behind. So we just did it for a period of time. My wife, fortunately, was a school teacher. But just the process of setting it up there, Tim, it is quite straightforward. There are people who will help you set it up, but you just got to apply and that sort of thing.
Michael, tell us about your child who was getting bullied and what it was like when they went back into the mainstream system.
Yeah, we've put her into a more intermediate school. Yeah, she came back sort of a lot more confident. So it was just a year out, got her confidence back and just got her focused on her learning and her development. And, so we felt it was, I guess, just choosing the right thing for your child. A mainstream school for some kids is perfect.
But were there any tools in particular that you gave her to deal with bullies?
Oh, I think she was just getting basically excluded. There was that subtle sort of exclusion and...
the mean girls.
You know, certainly, that's what I was told, yeah.
Yeah, it does happen, unfortunately. Sorry to not stand up for my gender.
certain ages, you know, that's a younger age group. But on the social side, I think there's so much going on socially now. And on the homeschooling, we found, like, in the areas, there's so much going on, like art, sport. So particularly in Auckland, we're pretty sport with choice, and there's... Each area of Auckland will have stuff going on every day, you know, from what sort of activity, languages. So there's a lot of people out there that are offering services to homeschool kids.
Okay.
And then in Auckland, they'll get together and do the camps or do things out all together.
I guess it's a question of plugging in to a network and making it work for you and making sure that the kids don't actually suffer socially from homeschooling.
Thanks for the call, Michael, and you're in the draw, which we will do in just a moment. Just to wrap up, Robin, and thank you so much for coming by, and remember you can check out her website, gettingagrip.com. The book is Getting a Grip on Parenting Time. Just thinking about time and time with your kids, and I think back to growing up, and I remember Dad making a real effort that, and I think it was Sunday afternoons, for a while there, while I was sort of 11, 12, 13, 14, Sunday afternoons, we would do stuff together. And whether that was a bushwalk or whether it's him bowling to me.
Special time.
In the backyard.
Oh, I love the special time thing. Yeah. And I think
playing mini golf, I remember. And, you know.
Sorry.
No. Yeah, but all that stuff is that I really remember it.
Perfect.
I distinctly remember those Sundays and I loved it.
I really encourage parents to have a special time with each kid once a week. If you can. And I had six kids. It was sometimes quite difficult. So it was one, we had a little chart up on the fridge and it was one kid, one parent in actual fact, and the kid got to choose the activity. And it was only half an hour a week, and it was amazing the difference. I can still remember my one and only daughter at the age of about three sitting on the floor with her farming father, 6 foot farming father, and they were playing dolls tea parties.
Oh,
good stuff. On that very nice story, thank you for being on the program, Robin Pierce. It's 18 minutes to 6. We are going to have a bit of a preview of the All Blacks versus England. There are rumours that Steve Hansen may not be coached for much longer. He is also saying that this is even bigger than last year's Lions series, this match against England. It's going to be like...
I feel like they're overselling it, but let's get into that.
Okay. Josh Price is going to be joining us in just a moment. 17 to 6.